Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Wellness Wake Up. Happy Monday. Hi, Marissa.
Hi, Carolyn. Welcome back. Thank you guys for joining us. We have a great episode today, and we are very excited that you're here.
Yeah, we're going to be covering snacking in just a minute, but first we got to cover our magic moments. And so if you are new around here, our magic moment is just a moment from the past week that really lit us up, and it could be something as big as a trip or a really special situation or occasion, or it could be something as little as the sunset. So Marissa, what was your magic moment this week?
My magic moment was this morning. We're actually recording this on a Monday morning today. Yeah. So it's actually a Monday morning. And I was like, had one of those nights last night where like I had the Sunday scaries, which I feel like I haven't had in a really long time. I think sometimes when I'm gone for multiple weekends in a row, when you get back on Sunday, you don't feel like, even if you have the day, it doesn't feel like enough of the day. So I was definitely having anxiety last night and I woke up with it a little bit, but I actually really honored the things that helped my anxiety this morning, which means I meditated before I got out of bed. I went on a walk. I was lucky enough to get to my favorite workout class, and the weather was beautiful, and I felt so much better after it. And even if I had not had time for all three of those things, which was very special, doing just one of those can make you feel so much better. So it was a nice reminder to myself
that really
feeling better is not always that far away. So that was my magic moment.
That's really a good one. And also, this is crazy because it's like not even 9 a.m. for me yet. Yeah. You've had a day.
Well, in my defense, it's 11.
So. Yeah. But that's great. Good. I'm so glad you did that for yourself. And it is such a good reminder of like sometimes just being in action is what can get rid of that anxiety or those Sunday scaries. And even if you love what you do, you sometimes get Sunday scaries too.
100%.
My magic moment was last night. We ended up having a little bit of what was a planned dinner party, but anyway, a lot of additional people ended up coming, and it was so sweet to hang in the backyard and just eat and chat and laugh, and it felt so, so good. So that was definitely a really big magic moment for me.
I love hosting
so much, and just when people come and help and just like all hands on deck kind of thing is really
things you
sweet.
Cannot do in a very small New York City apartment.
you need a backyard one of these days. It's a game changer.
I do. One of these days we can start manifesting it. Okay, let's get into it. So today we are talking about snacking. And this is something that I think people have a lot of confusion on, and within good reason. You know, for a while, snacking became kind of trendy almost, with the whole like eat five small meals a day diet trend. But recently with the whole intermittent fasting thing, people are almost moving away from it again, saying like, just cut down your eating window. There's no time to snack. So people come in all the time and are really confused. Should I be snacking? Should I not be snacking? And although this is an annoying answer, but as always with food and nutrition, there's not really a one size fits all here. For some people, three solid meals in a shorter eating window works really well, while others find they need more consistent energy throughout the day. So as a general rule of thumb, I like to think that we shouldn't really go much further than four-ish hours between our meals and snacks, you know, four or five, maybe if you have bigger meals that day and that feels good to you. But really, when we go too long without food midday, a few things happen. First, our blood sugar tends to drop. And when our blood sugar is low, we get that craving for quick energy, aka usually sugary carbs. Then we go for those quick carbs and we eat something sugary and we eat it really quickly since we're starving. And when we eat it really quickly, we tend to eat much more than we initially would have. So that can kind of lead us on this energy high, low roller coaster. And that's when like actually intentionally having a snack can be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And something else I see a lot too, when that blood sugar dips low, is people tend to feel more anxious throughout their day too, or drink coffee in place of, you know, a snack or a meal, or try to just like power through. And the reality is you do need food every couple of hours too, to keep your energy up, to keep your focus on point. Creativity wise, there's even a lot of research that shows it can be really beneficial. So snacking is important, but if we snack too much or graze all day, that's not great for our energy levels either.
100%. And I see that a lot of people, when we think about this, like people who are against snacking sometimes think you need to be starving when you eat a meal. I think about my boyfriend with this all the time. The most annoying thing he will say to me is I'll be like, what should we get for dinner? And he's like, I don't know. I'm not starving yet. And I'm like, Elliot, and he's a perfect example of someone who actually never snacks, but he just eats monstrous meals instead. And that is not the answer.
Yeah.
You don't want to go from this starving to stuffed kind of timeline like he might do. Instead, the goal is really, when we think about that, like our hunger fullness, we want to, you know, start at like a three, right? If one is starving, we want to be at that three where we're like kind of hungry and end at a seven, which is satisfied, versus a 10, which would be stuffed. So snacking can actually help you maintain that middle ground throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe that's a guy thing, because I witnessed that with my partner too. It's like, but now we do what, how hungry are you? And he'll give me like a number so that I'll make dinner or we'll make dinner like soonish, or wait an hour or whatever. So actually checking in with that number from 1 to 10 can be really helpful for yourself too. Of like, okay, where am I? Am I getting close to three? Okay, it's time to snack and not wait till dinner. We'll talk about different situations. But that being said too, on the flip side of things, snacking too much or grazing all day long is not great for your energy levels or your body either. In between meals, our gut has this street cleaning system that gets activated. It's called the migrating motor complex, or the MMC for short. And the MMC is designed to move food through your digestive tract. It basically pushes food and other particles through your gut, and it keeps you regular. It helps prevent gut infections like SIBO, and it's crucial for a really healthy digestive tract. In Ayurvedic medicine and more Eastern medicine, I've heard this example of, if you're having a dinner party where you're cooking a batch of rice, and let's say it's a potluck and everybody keeps showing up all night long and throwing a handful of rice into the pot, you're never going to have a fully cooked pot of rice. It's going to be all these different temperatures, all these different like textures going on. And that's not what we want for our digestive system. We want everything to be fully cooked the same time, digestive enzymes wise, and to let it move, and then to give your body a little bit of a digestive break. So it basically is this little cleaning system in between snacks that gets activated. And if it doesn't, then food waste and bacteria is going to sit in your small intestine longer than is healthy, which can lead to the development of SIBO. And so, you know, this motility really ensures that unnecessary bacteria doesn't thrive in your intestine and that your digestive tract is fully in order.
We see this a lot too in like constipation predominant SIBO. So it's like usually methane SIBO, which you guys don't need to understand that. Mm-hmm. But if you struggle with chronic constipation, actually giving yourself a solid 3 to 4 really hours, if you can, between meals can really help with activating this migrating motor complex and helping things move along.
Yeah, that's great advice. So optimally 3 to 4 hours, but at a minimum 2 hours between meals and snacks too. So it can just be a good rule of thumb. If you're someone who finishes lunch and then is looking for a snack 1 hour later, either you didn't eat enough for lunch, which is helpful information, or maybe it's more just habitual and not wanting to go back to work, which is, you know, more the behavioral side of things. So just looking at what's actually going on there with you and recognizing like, okay, I probably can give myself another hour. Maybe I'm at like a 5 or 6 hunger fullness wise, and I'm not actually hungry. I just really need a break from screens, or I need to get outside for some fresh air. So sometimes we use snacking for the wrong reasons, which are fine if you're in tune with it and are actively deciding, hey, I want to snack, but probably 100%. Not so great if it's just like every Monday through Friday doing that because you don't want to get back to work.
I call that the procrastination hunger. Like the people who like need a lunch dessert, need a lunch something, like keep going back for it. You just maybe don't want to go back to work yet. So take a lap around the office, get outside, do something like that, and then see if you're still actually hungry. And obviously all of these are general rules of thumb. There are days when you are hungrier and there's days when you're less hungry. Yeah. And that's okay. As long as you're acknowledging like and asking yourself like what's actually happening here.
Yeah. And go check out our last episode or one of our last episodes. That's Why Am I Always Hungry? If you want to learn more about how to tune into that and figure out, are your meals made of the right things, or are you looking for something else, or maybe you have a vitamin deficiency? It could be a lot of different things. So let's talk through a couple of different snack situations of like reasons why people snack or reasons why you should probably snack. The first one that comes to mind for me is the afternoon slump, when you have that low energy around 3 or 4 p.m., when maybe you have a couple more hours of work to do, but you're feeling pretty low energy. And something I see happen a lot here is people reach for something high carb, something sugary, or like even popcorn solo, something that's like maybe considered on the healthier side of things, but it's not really a balanced snack. And so we're going to go through examples in a little bit, but really starting to think through, you know, what would actually be energizing at that time of day. And so this is a time when I sometimes will have people do an all greens juice, have them do a big glass of water with electrolytes in addition to a snack too. But sometimes like if your body's looking for real energy and nourishment, not reaching just for a cup of mid-afternoon coffee, but giving your body energy, because food is energy and snacking is energy. And it's actually important to give your body energy and not just to try to go as low calorie as possible.
100%. The next situation that we think of for snacking is like the pre-eating before an event. And this actually, I think if you could take one thing away from an episode, can be the most useful way to look at a snack. is if you are going to a wedding or if you're, you know, maybe have a later meal out or something and you don't necessarily know what the food situation is going to be, having a little bit of something with hopefully some protein, fat, or fiber, we'll give you examples in a minute, that's actually going to fill you up so that you get to show up at that event, you know, maybe with a little bit of hunger, but not starving. And then you can make a better decision. Nothing's worse than getting to a wedding and maybe you already had a cocktail or something and being starving and not actually getting to enjoy what's going on. Instead, you eat a little bit of something before, you show up at a more neutral place on that hunger scale, and then you can make a decision based on what's going to feel best for you.
Yeah. And in those situations too, I find people are really like, you're usually really fixated on the food because you're really hungry. And so this just sets you up to, again, as Marissa said, perfectly be making really mindful and like intentional decisions where like, if you want to have a bunch of hors d'oeuvres, cool. But like, can you be having them and actually choosing them and not just like, you know, ravenously be eating? And also wedding's a perfect example because oftentimes we think, oh, we'll be eating in an hour, but it's really 3 or 4 hours from then.
You never know.
You never know when the food's actually going to be served or if there's going to be enough appetizers or what the situation's going to be like. So always having a little something within that hour window before heading off to an event can be a helpful rule. And it's not so that you won't eat, for the record, too. I think that that's important. It's not to say like, oh, don't eat or enjoy the food there. It's just so that you're heading in, love the word neutral, in that, in a more neutral headspace and zone.
And then you also get to enjoy the event more, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm starving at cocktail hour and so fixated on what am I going to eat? I'm not being present. But if I'm neutral, I'm able to like actually look around, and we always talk about all the other kind of nourishment you're getting, right? So getting that environmental nourishment, like being in a beautiful new place, getting that social nourishment, interacting with people, there's emotional nourishment, right? It's a wedding, hopefully it's a happy, joyous occasion. So all of those other things, if you're at that neutral place, you can enjoy a bit more.
Yeah. And that's a perfect lead into to one that's not on our list, but just thinking about having a little something in your system before you drink too is much nicer to your entire body, from your liver, your digestive tract, like all of it is so much, you know, alcohol, of course, no amount is good for you, we have to say, but if you're going to drink or have a couple of drinks at a wedding, say, to have a little something with good fat or protein in your system first can act as a little bit of a buffer. And then of course, help you feel better both the next day, make better decisions the whole night. Okay. So another reason why we would really believe in or want you to snack would be pre or post workout. Pre-workout depends on what time of day. Some people absolutely can do fasted workouts and feel fine if it's first thing in the morning. But if it's been a while since your last meal or snack, having a little something within, again, that 1 hour window before a workout can be really, really helpful to your overall output, to how energized you feel during it, and just like not feeling depleted during it. Post-workout, that 1 hour window after a workout is really important to refuel with something with protein and a little bit of carb. So a smoothie is a perfect example. It could be more like a meal there as well if the timing allows. But if you just have a workout and then you're, you know, on to the next thing or racing into your day, making sure you at a minimum have a snack with a little bit of protein and good carb there can be really, really beneficial for muscle recovery and energy for the rest of the day. And we find if you go too long post-workout, you'll end up ravenous later and it kind of defeats the purpose of all the energy you just put out to muscle recovery wise. So make sure that you do get something in. So it's sort of those 1 hour windows around a workout are pretty important.
Yeah. The next thing we think about is travel. And travel is such a funny food situation. I think I was at the airport a few weeks ago and I think I posted this on Instagram, but like, there are just no food rules in an airport. And I kind of love it. Like, people are eating Chinese food at 7 a.m. and no one's saying anything about it. But I do think that travel snacking is something you can either use to your advantage or people can really flounder with. So this is something that we want you to do a little bit of plan ahead action around. First of all, think about the time of day of your flight, right? Sometimes we just bring a bunch of snacks to the airport because we think we associate snacking with an airplane. But if it's not a time of day that you would normally eat, don't necessarily feel like you have to because you are on a plane. Now, we know airports are notoriously one of the most expensive places in the world to buy snacks. So we are both proponents of bringing your own, planning ahead here, right? So if you're flying during a mealtime, definitely bring a meal with you. You can pack hard-boiled eggs for breakfast or an Ezekiel bread sandwich. If it's lunchtime, I'm a huge fan of picking up a sweet grain or kava or something so that you just have a satisfying meal with you. But obviously those aren't snacks. So we want to have some snacks in our bag in case we get the munchies, that we can at least snack on something that's nourishing. So I like to think of, for travel snacks, things like chopsticks, or you can even bring like a cut up fruit or like a handheld apple or a banana that you can throw in your bag. You can get stuff like crispy chickpeas, but travel snacks, my suggestions are go for real food if you can, pack them on your own, try to avoid the just eating because you feel like you should be eating, and really think about, am I actually hungry? And remembering that planes can dehydrate us, so making sure you're staying hydrated at the same time, because we know dehydration and hunger can feel very similar.
Totally. A good rule of thumb I like for travel days would be to bring like two snacks for the travel days that you have, and then one snack per day away. I think it's just like, which can end up being a lot.
A great
you
number
through
one.
All of them, but just having sometimes like, especially if you're traveling with other people, they'll always want some of your healthy good snacks. You trust me. Making sure that, you know, sometimes if you're a number person, that you have enough and are kind of stocked in that way in your carry-on can be really helpful. Next up, another reason why you might want to snack or when you would want the snack would be if you have a late lunch or a late dinner. Sometimes people are like, oh, I already had that one snack, or I have my planned afternoon snack. Sometimes you need to be flexible and switch timing of things too. So if lunch is particularly late, have a snack at noon and swap those eating times, or have a bonus snack. Would rather you have a bonus snack in your day than go hungry too long. And especially if you're someone having like an 8 or 9 p.m. dinner, having a snack at 3 or 4 is not going to hold you over into that time. And you're going to end up, as Marissa talked about earlier, showing up ravenous. And so sometimes just having an extra could be eggs, it could be a yogurt, it could be optimally like some real food snacks, but we do, there's a time and place for some bars and things like that as well. And so if it's going to be too long and sort of mapping out your timing, making sure that you do have a little extra bonus snack before a meal.
Totally. So we've kind of been teasing this all along, but really the question now is, what do I actually snack on? And somewhere along the way, we got caught up in the idea that snacks have to be this like different kind of food. You know, typical snack food comes in these colorful plastic packaging and are not things that you would consider to eat at a meal. So instead, what we want to challenge you to do is go for real food snacks. So this means that you're choosing snacks that don't come necessarily in a package. They're not advertised to you as snack food, but they're just smaller portions of real food that are really going to satisfy you. Now, I like to think about the perfect snack formula, right? We talk about meal balance all the time, but what is snack balance? So normally when we look at our meals, we think about like three components to actually keep you full. We talked about this in our fullness episode, but really protein, fat, and like carbs filled with fiber are that, those are like the trifecta, right? Now for snacks, we don't necessarily need all three of those, but having at least two of those can help ensure that your snack is nutritionally balanced and satiating, meaning that it's going to hold you over for dinner longer, right? So some people get in the habit of like just eating fruit as a snack. And although that's healthy, nourishing food, if you just have that like carb or fiber without any protein or fat, you might be hungrier really soon thereafter and the snack's not actually working in your favor. Whereas if you take that apple and or fruit and you balance it with some nut butter, with a hard-boiled egg, with the cheese stick, with some Greek yogurt, some sort of fat or protein, it's going to take you a heck of a lot longer. So favorite snack proteins are things like hard-boiled eggs, turkey jerky, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese. If you're more plant-based, you could do things like black beans or chickpeas. Fat-wise, I love doing avocado. You can do any sort of nut butter you like. You could do actual nuts like walnuts, almonds, pistachios, pumpkin seeds are great. Even a drizzle of olive oil on something. One of my favorite snacks is like microwaved edamame with a drizzle of olive oil and sea salt. That's delicious. Yeah. And then the fiber or carb, we think about fruit, veggies are really great options here, or something again, like a bean or a lucerne can fit into both categories.
Yeah. And I love me some like, we'll get into specifics in a minute, but like Mary's Gone crackers can be good too. Those kind of, you know, fiber rich crackers that can be really helpful.
Okay. So some of my favorite real food snack examples. So I love doing and like either a whole apple or half an apple, you know, some apples are like the size of my head these days. So it depends on how much I really need, but like chopped up with cottage cheese and cinnamon. I love doing savory Greek yogurt dips. This is like my favorite one, but taking plain Greek yogurt and mixing in like ranch seasoning or taco seasoning, chili lime seasoning, anything you have, and dipping like veggies or a cracker in there. Suddenly you like make a dip that you can actually eat a ton of because it's like super protein rich and filling. And that one can be a great option. Also things that like you would typically eat at like a lunch, like turkey and cheese with like a little bit of pickle or an avocado in there, roll-ups can be a really great one. What are some of your favorites?
Yeah, I love a popcorn trail mix, actually. Popcorn, any sort of nuts, seeds in there, some chocolate chips, maybe goji berries. can sort of hit the sweet and savory. I'm a sweet savory person combined. So I love doing something like a little bit, a combo of those flavors in whatever way. Always with like the, I also love like a classic apple and almond butter, peanut butter, anything like that. And a lot of times like a Greek yogurt, like in the more traditional sense as like a, you know, with some berries and maybe a little granola, anything like that. I'll also do like baked sweet potato slices with avocado, maybe a little smoked salmon on there too. So yeah, really looking at the real food ones. I actually even love doing a smoothie too. Mid-afternoon smoothie, especially as it gets warmer, can be a really, really nice way to get in a lot of nutrients and also hit that like sort of ice creamy sweet spot. And so we're really looking to not just have like a sugar bomb kind of like, if you want to do a cookie or something like that, okay, can you have something like healthy and nutrient dense first instead of, it doesn't have to necessarily be in place of, but it can be in addition to. And I think that that's like a helpful rule of thumb for people who do want to have some of those office snacks. Like you don't have to eat like a nutritionist. You have to eat like you. And can you eat like you, but elevated?
I love that. And I always say to clients, because so many people are in the habit of like a sweet and a cup of coffee at that 3 p.m. slump. Mm-hmm. But like, can you even add a handful of walnuts to that? Can you add a handful of pistachios? Eat those first. And that's going to give that like staying power, which means it will keep you fuller longer to that snack for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that being said, there also are some packaged options. As much as we want to go for the real food versions, of course, oftentimes we're on the run, just like you guys are too. And so we do love a lot of great packaged options. And I think Marissa, you and I both probably have Amazon storefronts too.
I actually don't. I have been meaning to.
Okay, you got to do that. It's a helpful
on my to-do list.
Add one more thing to your to-do list. Perfect. But ones that I love, my go-tos would be like the Chomp Sticks Vermont Smoke and Cure Jerky is really, really great for protein. I love string cheeses too. Probably not like the number one healthiest considering they're in like that soft plastic, but I do think that they can be a great on the run with an apple kind of thing, meat in the middle option. Elemental superfood bars are fantastic. I also like Aloha bars too. Are pretty good protein bars. Just as it gets into summer, be a little mindful of getting like chocolatey ones that'll melt all over the place. What about you?
I actually love those That's It bars where the only ingredient is fruit. Now, it's not enough on its own. Usually I say like have that and a Chomp Stick, but those are a great like travel one. Just keep in that travel bag of yours because they never go bad. And it could, well, they do eventually, but like they'll last you longer than a fresh banana. Mm-hmm. And the only ingredients are fruit. So those are really great ones. I love Poshy. That brand makes like packaged artichokes and things, which are like amazing.
That's a Friends brand. I haven't heard anyone say that in a while, but I see them all over.
Really I love cool. that. That's always on my client Rex. I love little bags of olives. Sometimes like those can be a great thing. Also those wisps, like dried cheese little things where the only ingredient is literally like Parmesan cheese. Mm-hmm. Delicious and can be a great, like I love those on an airplane, like something really satisfying about salty food on an airplane.
You want to know why that is?
Yeah.
So this is actually crazy. Our taste buds, taste, smell, all of our senses get desensitized on an airplane. So that's why airplane food is going to be way saltier and way more sugary actually than what you would eat on the ground and needs to have way more flavor added to it in order for it to taste the same. I guess there's something about like being overly stimulated with a million miles up in the air.
I love that.
Anyway, fun facts for your day.
The more you know.
Full of other snacks. You have more.
Oh, no, I was going to say one more, just those Rhythm Superfoods brand.
Love those.
Those dried carrots. They make ones that are just naked, which means literally like just dried carrots. And if you look at the fiber content on them, awesome. They also make like fun kettle chips, broccoli chips. I like all those.
The beet chips are so good. Bear makes apple chips. I see them a lot in airports. And those are a great one to have with some nuts on the side. I also love two shake brands. Rebel protein shakes are really, really great. And so are Koya protein shakes. They have a little cane sugar, but I still like them. They're pretty high protein. Those ones can be great. And some cottage cheese brands too. Good Culture. Cottage cheese cups Amazing. Can be really perfect. Siggy's yogurt. So going back towards the real food, but in the packaged
form. And when
you're
craving something sweeter for a snack too, I like having a date with peanut butter almost on the side of my snack when I want something sweet. Sometimes if I do just two dates and peanut butter, it doesn't actually hold me over as long. But if I have like a handful of nuts with the date on the side, it seems to like last me a little bit longer and it really can satisfy that sweet tooth.
Yeah, those are delicious. Okay, we've covered a lot of snack action. Hope you learned some things. Let us know what your favorite snacks are. And think about, you know, next time you're snacking, hopefully today, as you're listening to this, how you can really optimally pair some snacks too. And are you eating, you know, especially during that mid-afternoon timeframe, are you eating for energy? Are you eating for cravings? Or are you eating, you know, maybe extra snacks because you really need a break? So just that tune in moment of like, what's going on for me? What does my body actually need right now? And then intentionally making that decision and snacking.
I love that. Well, thank you guys for joining us. As always, we will see you here next Monday morning and have a beautiful week.
Have a great week.
Bye.